Today we're going to talk about hope. We call it a festival of hope, right? Yep. We want to talk about hope because that's what we're all about, right? I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to get there in a little bit, but let's turn there now so you will be ready. Hebrews chapter 6. That's near the back, right? Somewhere near the back? Hold on, I'm still looking. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit. This always gets me. The Rhode Island motto is hope, right? And I don't know about you, but just living here in Rhode Island, I am overflowing with hope. Just being here, right? I mean, isn't that the way it works? Don't you feel that? Some of you don't actually live in Rhode Island, maybe, but if you live here, man, you cross the border in Rhode Island, you just explode with hope, right? Isn't that the way it is? We wish, right? The truth of the matter is that this world we're in is a world without hope. And we're not talking just about Rhode Island. We're talking about the whole world. The whole world does not really have a lot of hope when you talk about the whole planet, really. Maybe some areas are a little more tuned into hope than others, perhaps. But the fact is that it's a pretty hopeless existence. I looked up the word hopeless, so, you know, world without hope, and Google AI comes up with this. Let me read it to you. It says, for world without hope, a bleak and desolate place characterized by despair, a lack of purpose, and a sense of meaninglessness. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what life is like. You know, you wake up in the day and you're like, what's the meaning? What does it have to do? Why? Why am I here? Why am I alive? What is this all about? There's really not a lot of hope when you look around in the world, right? The wars that are going on. Has there ever been a time when there isn't war and hate and crime and all kinds of problems everywhere that you turn? I don't think so. But the truth of the matter is that we need hope just to survive. We need to have some kind of hope within us just to carry on and to keep going one step at a time. Isn't that true? Are you with me so far? Someone said this, we can't live without hope. Human beings can live for 40 days without food, 4 days without water, and 4 minutes without air, or something like that. How long can you live without hope? So let me ask you this, do you have any hope in your life? Do you have any hope in your life? There was a doctor who said this. He said, if I could find a way to package and dispense hope, I would have a pill more powerful than any antidepressant on the market. Is that true? Why we take a lot of the things we take? Well, I have a hope that it's going to make me feel better. It's going to heal this. It's going to do that. But if I could come up with a pill that to give you that would just fill you with hope, man, I would be a billion. I'd be the most powerful and wealthy person on the planet. There's so much hopelessness, hopeless lives, hopeless hearts, depression. You know, we live in America, you know, the very wealthy society compared to so many other places, but yet depression in our country is probably way off the charts compared to a lot of other places. Don't have all the stuff that we have. Suicide. Out of control. This is the planet that we live on. This is the situation, the society that we live in. So what is this hope? you know, when I was thinking about this idea, you know, we have hopeless, we have hopeful, and we have hope-filled. And so, you know, the world has got this hopeless thing happening, and so when we look at this idea of hope, it kind of gets to the hopeful. Well, I'm hopeful. It's kind of a wishful kind of thing. I'm hopeful. I'm wishful thinking. I hope that it's going to get better, and I hope that I'm going to win the lottery. That's hopeful. That's wishful thinking. I don't go to the lottery. I just want to say that. It's just a joke, okay? I don't want any of you running out to the lottery because you're wasting your money. But do you have any hope in your life? And if this is your answer, I hope so, then you got a problem. Then I have a problem, and we need to figure out what it is. We call it a festival of hope. It isn't a festival of I hope so. It's a festival of I hope. And what is that hope? You know, we look for hope in all the wrong places, really, in this world. We look for it, in people. We look for it in our jobs. We look for it in money, security, even in our government. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, some governments are better than others. Okay, I get that. But if we're trying to find hope in life from the government, because they're going to change every 2 years or every 6 years or every 4 years, depending on what the role is of this particular person, I put my hope in my car. Like, as soon as you get it working good, what happens? It breaks down again. Like, I thought I just fixed that. I thought I got this thing all together. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. There's a verse in Ephesians that says that to be separate from Christ is to be without hope and without God in the world. Now, you know, you're in a church, right? I was talking with a gentleman, this used to be a Baptist church, but it's a church. And I could get up here and give you all kinds of these, you know, psychological things and sayings and stuff to talk about hope, but this is a church. And when I talk about church, I'm talking about a church that believes, like we saw Patrick reading from the gigantic Holy Bible yesterday. That was awesome. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to get a bigger one. I'm going to get one bigger than that. Okay? So I'm holding it up here, yeah. But that's what we're here for, to find out what God says about hope. Right? You don't come to church to find out the latest, you know, fashion, the latest, you know, thinking, these new ideas or whatever. You come to find some hope. I know that's why you're here. So you can get through another week, another day, another hour. And so if we don't point you in the right place, we are failing. If this place you come here and we don't point you to Jesus Christ and the cross and God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we are failing you. We're here to find hope. He says, without hope, without God. Without hope and without God. He is the God of hope. The Scripture uses the word hope like 160 times. That's a lot of times. There's a powerful passage in Psalm 42 and 43. You know, the psalm writer, he was depressed. He says, you know, I'm so downcast. I can't even, I can't even look up. And he preaches to himself. And what does he say? He says to himself, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. And that's what I'm going to say to you today. That's what I say to myself. Do I ever get downcast? If you only knew. Put your hope in God. That's really, I could stop right now. because that's the answer. I got a few more things to share with you, but that's it. Put your hope in God. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 62? He says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. It comes from Him, nowhere else." What did the Lord say to Jeremiah? He says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope." That's what God wants to do for you. That's what He wants to do for me. Give you and me some hope in this world. We look for it in all the wrong places, but God says, "I have it for you. I want to give it to you. Put your hope in me." That's what He says. Lamentations 3:24, Jeremiah says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore," what? "I hope in Him." He's my portion. He's the answer. He's everything. He's everything to me. Now, that doesn't mean we just go sit on a mountain and we just think about Him all day long. We have to live in this world. We have to function. We have to do what we need to do. But deep within us, the hope that we have is in God. It's in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's nowhere else. Do you have any hope in your life? Well, I hope so. What's your walk life with God? What's your relationship with Him like? Because that's where it's going to come from. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel hopeless. You ever feel that way? You wake up and you go like, "What's the point?" But I spend time in the Bible. I spend time with the Lord. I take that time. And you know what? 99.9% of the time, it's like my spirit is lifted. I have hope and I carry on. Do you have that? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a quiet time? You can call it all different kinds of things. You know, your quiet time, your devotional life, whatever you want to call it, do you have it? Because you can't come to church every day. There's some churches you can go to every day, I guess, but we're not here every day, so don't come. But you can go have your own church every day. And you need to. You need to have it for yourself. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In verses 17 through 19. What does it say? "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath." He was talking about an oath previously. And verse 18 says, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we," pay attention here, what does he say? "We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, and it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Speaking about the temple and that sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, this hope enters right in. But notice what he says here. He says that we who have fled to take hold of the hope, we need to flee to Him, go to Him. For that, it's impossible for Him to lie. He's promised us hope. He has hope. He's the God of hope. And then he says here that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What holds you steady? I was talking with someone. Who was I talking about? Was it? It was Greg this morning about the quahoggers out in the bay. we used to live in a place where we could watch them, and they threw their anchors down so they could quahog, right? And they had those long poles. Any of you seen those? You don't see it so much anymore, but they're still out there doing that. But the anchor kept them from moving around so they could do what they had to do. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Do you got the anchor for your soul? Do you have any hope in your life? Do you have that anchor? Do you have that security? It's not in the stuff you have. It's not in the job you have, the position you have, the people you have around you even. Because you know what? People are not always going to be there. Even the people we love the most. Do you have the hope as an anchor for your soul? He says here that it's solid, that it's unchanging, that we can trust Him because He doesn't lie. It's solid, and you and I, we need to flee to Him for that hope. That's where we're going to find it, because He wants us to have it. He wants you to have hope in your soul. Not hope, just kind of hopeful, not hopeless, but filled with hope. That's what He wants for you and for me. Colossians 1:27 says this, Christ in you, what? Who can tell me the rest? The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of something beyond this life. It's not going to get better. I hate to tell you, you know, there's this thing, well, if we just keep all working real hard, we're going to make the planet so much better, and it's all going to get really, really good. It's not going to happen, folks, until God comes and changes things and makes it right. Not going to happen. Well, as soon as I get my act together and I get everything together in my life and I get myself, you know, right on track, and then I'm going to be so full of hope. How's that working out for you? It doesn't work for me. Do you got any hope in your life? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. James, Peter. So we're in Hebrews, so we go James and then Peter. So two books ahead, right? We got to start going back over our Bible books because we haven't done that for a long time. 5:12. 5:12. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Peter talks about it. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in His great mercy He has given us new birth into what? A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Where? Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." He says, It's mercy that He gave us this new birth into a living hope. You can't even begin to appreciate real hope, true hope, living hope, until you are what the Bible describes as being born again. Now, did Peter make up the idea of being born again? Who did? Who? Jesus did. He says it. Unless you're born again, unless you have a new life within you, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to know it. You're not going to enter into it unless you are born again. So you're going to say, oh no, are you one of those born again churches? Well, yes, we are. Hello? Because that's what the church is. If you're not born again, if you don't have a brand new life, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have no hope. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's a new birth. It's a brand new life. And Peter's saying here that through that we have a living hope. Through that we have an inheritance that's kept for us in heaven, thankfully. that's never going to go away. There's no, you know, lawyer that is going to, you know, take it from you. You know how many lawyers there are in Rhode Island? Oh yeah, we're the state of hope. I forgot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. You know, about every other billboard is some lawyer. Well, I'm going to get this for you, and I'm going to, you know, I win. No, Jesus won. This lawyer, all he's going to get you is some money, and you get a whole bunch of money. Is that going to make you full of hope, full of life, full of, you know, whatever? It might, you know, relieve some symptoms or whatever. But the hope is from Jesus, from being born again. Do you have any hope in your life? Hebrews chapter 10, what does he say? He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Why? For he who promised is faithful. If you're born again, you have a living hope. You got to hold on to it. If all you do is, you know, look at social media, watch TV, listen to what the world has to say, that's not holding on to the hope that you have. If you have a time where you go to the Lord, to His Word, you are faithful and you're a part of a church, you go to, you know, different places to hear the Word of God. You can hear a lot of this stuff online, of course, but you got to hold on to it. The writer of the Hebrews talks about, you know, if you're not holding on, if you're not making a conscious effort to hold on, to stay where you need to be, what will happen to you? You'll drift, right? You're just like a boat. If you don't have that anchored, you're going to drift. And that's what happens to us. Hold on to the hope that we profess. We say, I'm a believer. He says, hold on unswervingly to that hope that we profess. Because God is faithful. If there's one thing about God, is that He is faithful. Our hope is in Him. That's where our hope is. It's not in the things of this world. It's not, you know, in people. It's not in ourselves. I love it when people say, well, just believe in yourself. What does that mean? Which part of me? The part I see in the mirror? Oh, Justin is balder than me. I'm telling you what. I got hair. He doesn't. God is faithful. He's able to take care of us. He's willing to take care of us. He wants to take care of us. But we let go. We drift. We're off doing our whatever. But His promise is that He has a future for you. We read it. To give you hope and a future. That's what He wants to do. That's what He has for you. That's what He has for me. A future with Him in heaven. Eternal life. A new home. Do you have any hope in your life? Well, I truly can say I hope so. Paul talks about hope a little bit in Romans chapter 5. I know the print's a little bit small, but I think you can probably read it. The truth of the matter is that sometimes the path to hope is difficult. To get to the hope, sometimes you've got to go through stuff, right? And that's what Paul says here. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, the hope, it comes through suffering sometimes, perseverance, character, and then finally hope. Sometimes it takes a while to get there. But Paul said, you know what, don't minimize the fact that suffering is a part of this life and that God will use it and he will work all things together for good to bring you to a place of hope. A couple more thoughts here. You know, on our worship slides, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but what does it say? First slide that comes up on our worship slide. What does it say? A door of hope. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Well, in the book of Hosea, there's a verse that says this. There, God says, I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. This is where this comes from, Hosea chapter 12. I'm dyslexic. Not really. But if you are, you can still have hope because God can do a work in your life. You know, I've known dyslexic people that God does incredible things. But this Valley of Achor, it kind of goes back to Joshua chapter 7. Some bad stuff happened back there. And it's a valley of trouble. It's not a nice place. But God says, I will make the valley of trouble into a door of hope. So you might say, you know, suffering, trouble, my life's full of trouble. Well, God can turn that into a door of hope for you. Some translations say a gateway of hope, where it just opens right up into hope. In Isaiah chapter 65, it says, as Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, in the valley of Achor, a resting place for herds. What? For my people who seek me. That's a door of hope. The valley of Achor, he's going to turn things around. He can turn things around in your life. I want to say that to you today, that God, you may be going through very troublesome times, but God has hope for you. And even what you're going through can turn into the opening for the hope that he has for you. If, like it says here, you will seek him. If you'll seek him. The scripture tells us that God says, seek my face. Seek my face. Seek me and live. Seek, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the rest will be taken care of. We seek after all the other stuff. But he says, seek after him, his kingdom. The last slide we have in our worship slides is what? Go forth in hope. Because we want you to have this hope. That's why we come here. You know, we all have troubles. We all have problems. We have stuff we go through. But you know what? We can turn to the Lord. And that's what we come here for. And hopefully, as you come here, as I've said earlier, you come to find hope so that you can carry on. That you can say, when someone asks you, do you have any hope? You can say, yes, I do. Because my hope is not in the world. It's in God. It's in Jesus Christ. He lives in me. I'm born again. I have a new life. I'm not putting my hope in the stuff around me, in the people. I'm putting my hope in God. Put your hope in God is what he says. And go forth in hope. I hope you leave here today with some hope. I really do. Is that hopeful or hopeless? Or hope filled. Because Romans 15:13 says this, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some translations say that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. I put music to this chorus. We used to sing it a long time ago. Anybody remember that? Long time ago, but it helps me to remember. Why do I put music to verses? Because it helps me remember them, you see. But I put music to this, and so I know these verses. And when I'm feeling hopeless, I think about this and I look to the God of hope to give me joy, to give me peace, because it's not, I don't have it naturally. I'm not naturally a joyful, peaceful person, although you might think that about me because I, you know. But the truth is, I got to get it from somewhere outside of myself. I'm just being honest with you. And I think that's true of all of us to some degree. Now, some people, they truly are, they wake up in the morning, they're as joyful as anything or whatever, whatever. I want to just punch them. But the God of hope fills us with all joy and with peace as we what? As we trust in Him, as we turn to Him, as we seek Him. We say, God, I trust You. I can't do it. I need You, and please help me. And He says, you will overflow, you will abound with hope or in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you got any hope in your life? I hope it gives you some stuff to truly think about, really. And maybe it will give you some, maybe a push to seek after God and to make that a daily part of your life. Because I'm telling you, it works. Mm-hmm. September 1st is my spiritual birthday. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, September 1st, 1976. Some of you can do math quickly. And you know what? I can say that He, like we read here, what's that? 49. No, that's my age. I can say that He's been... That's good. That is good. I wish I had a sense of humor. I could come up with stuff like that. What I was trying to say before you so rudely interrupted me is that He has been faithful. 49 years, He has been faithful. The Scripture says even when we are faithless, He is faithful because He is God, and that's who He is. That's His character. But I can say honestly through the years, and you know, just having a consistent walk, consistent, faithful time with Him every day has changed my life. It changes my life every day. I don't know what it would be like if I didn't have that, honestly. You'd think, you know, you think about the manna, right? How often did they have to go out and get the manna? Every day, except they were allowed to, you know, get enough for 2 days. What does it say in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. It's something about the daily thing, you know. Really, really is. You say, well, my life's too busy. If I can pass anything along to you out of my life, it's this. A daily walk with Jesus. That's all I got. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a Bible, you know. I'm not the greatest preacher on the planet. But I have what I have, and that's what I... All I can have is what I... All I can give you is what I have. Okay, that's all I got. Let's pray. One thing more, I forgot to say this. I just wanted to bring up this baptism again. We are going to have the baptism on September 7th. 7th? Yeah. But if you've never been baptized, if you are a follower of Jesus, never been baptized, we will baptize you because it's not going to save you. It's not going to make you any more holy, but it is a witness to yourself, to the world, to everybody else that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, okay? But if you want to, let me know. Let Patrick know. Let somebody know. Let Justin know. And we're going to be doing that down in Narragansett. Hopefully there'll be no hurricane waves. And we'll get out in the water. So now let's pray. Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of hope, and apart from you, we can do nothing. We are nothing. We have nothing. But in you and with you, life has meaning. Life has purpose. Life is worth living. Father, we look to you, Lord. Sometimes we are just so hopeless. We're so joyless, have no peace. But you're the God of hope. You said you'll fill us. We're empty. We get empty every day. We need you to fill us every day, daily. Father, I thank you for that day we had yesterday. What a beautiful, beautiful day we had. But today's a new day. We need hope today. We need you today. Meet us here, Lord. I pray for any maybe that have never surrendered their life to Jesus. Maybe today's the day for you to be born again and have a brand new life like I had September 1st, 1976. Where you say yes to him. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need the hope that only you can bring. I receive you. I believe in you today. We should just wait on him for a moment as we just quiet our hearts before him. Cry out to him in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for all you are. You are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, please come afterwards, and we'd be happy to pray for you and with you. Let's all stand.